Strategic Hot Box with Dr. Brandi Love Stankovic. Discussing leadership, business, and how to take control of your life and achieve greatness. From the streets of Las Vegas, energized, informed, and never diluted, it's time to kick some ass.
Welcome to the Strategic Hot Box. This is your girl, Brandi Stankovic, coming to you. I'm an executive coach, motivational speaker, mommy, artist, and this is a special edition called Wonder Woman. And it is going to highlight some of the most powerful leaders that we have in all industries, and specifically the creating industry, and that's our women leaders. And we have a pretty special guest with us today. Sue Mitchell will be here. I will formally introduce you to her, but many of you recognize her. My partner in business, my partner in life, my mom. Do I see my eyelashes gone? And she will be here to share some of her leadership journey, her success, as well as tools and tips that we can give and provide to women every day. So this is our Wonder Woman episode, Feminine or Feminist? Let's get started. So why women in leadership? This is our second of our series in talking about women's issues. And we want to recognize and highlight that there is room to still grow in leadership with women. According to the U.S. Department of Labor, you may know that women are about 47% of the population in general across all industries, but only hold about 5.8% of CEO positions in the S&P 500. 5%. And yet they're 50% of the population, essentially, of the employment. And in credit union industry, those numbers are even more staggering. And it doesn't matter if you work in financial services, the larger the shop, the less women there are at the top. And so we, in this Wonder Woman special series, are still going to break the podcast up into three segments, your learn, love, and kick ass. But in the learn, we're going to talk about ways that if you are a woman in leadership, here's some tangible tools that you can use to make a difference. If you are a man in leadership and you have women on your team or want to know how better to mentor the women that you work with, then this is the podcast for you. In the love section, we're going to talk to our industry experts, people that have really made a difference in leadership, in being a woman, in kicking butt, and what that looks like. And then kick ass, of course, I'll give you some strategies and tools that you need to start implementing today, things to make your life a little easier. But of course, when it comes to Wonder Women, we couldn't do it alone. And we will highlight today the support of our business partners. We have Frank Diekman, who I brainstormed. I was at the bar. I just said that out loud. I was at the bar. Like that's not really weird for me to be at the bar, but I was at the bar at the GAC in DC, and I was talking about, and Frank asked me, what am I on a pedestal about these days? And it has to do with young women and leaders, and the fact that a lot of times they don't realize that there's still a discrepancy. We don't realize that there's still an issue with women in leadership. And so women stop working towards it. And so he has a partner with us to bring these special edition episodes to you. And another special business partner, and that's Shauna Richardson from Sarah Technology, who's really committed to serving women from all over the globe. And we'll hear a little bit more about her story in a second. So feminine or feminist, this word feminism sure gets a lot of media coverage these days, I feel like, especially from the election. And feminine, I decided that in preparation for this, I would look up what the definition of feminism is in general. And that's the advocacy of women's rights on the basis of the equality of the sexes. So advocating for women's rights because the thought is, the foundation is that there's equality amongst the sexes. That is feminism. So if you think about it, then anybody that believes in the progression of women to be equal would be a feminist, right? And yet I feel like, and maybe I'm going out on a limb here, but I feel like sometimes the word feminist can get a bad reputation, that you're going to be somebody that's way too sassy or that's burning their bra and doing crazy things. When in reality, if you're a feminist, you're really just saying, hey, I support women as a gender and as leaders and as people that are growing up equal. And so it's interesting the way that we can create a stigma around a particular word. And one of those kind of movements or something that's happened in this, the feminism that's occurred in the last several years, is the Women's March that happened earlier this year, January 21st, as a matter of fact, to advocate legislation and policies and human rights. And of course, some took it to the extreme and supported or were anti in other aspects. But from my participation and highlight of it in our discussion today is entirely around the fact that it's an advocate for just this idea of women and being supportive of all human rights. It doesn't matter if you're a woman, you're a man, you're a child, you're, you know, a senior, whatever it is, however you fall into any category or category you put yourself or other people put you in, how can we make sure that we're working together so we all grow in a synergistic way? And so I took a video when I was there with my kids. I actually took my two little boys. They were 4 and 6 at the time. And they just to feel the movement, to say they were a part of something pretty spectacular, and what they learned and came from it as well. So Scott, would you share that video, please?
Here we are at the Women's March in Las Vegas, Nevada in January 2017. We're here just supporting women's rights and human rights and the rights of all the little future presidents out there like this guy.
So just like I said in the video, it really was supporting women's rights and human rights and the rights of the future presidents, because that's the key. That's the thing that gets my blood, my hair standing on my arms, is how are we supporting this next generation? Very, very recently, the Miss USA winner, Kara McCullough, was asked in her final question whether she considered herself a feminist. And in her response, she said she preferred the term equalist. And it's gotten so much social media attention. And so it's worth maybe a Google for you if you have not heard of this. But she said that she tries not to consider herself a diehard, that she's not the I don't care about men type, that women are just as equal as men when it comes to opportunity in the workplace. She's witnessed the impact that women in leadership can have in her field. In general, what she's trying to say, it sounds like equalism essentially then, in her definition of it, is very similar to that feminism definition that I gave at the very beginning. So it's interesting the way that is. My personal emotional relationship with that wasn't as strong as I know that some have. But equalism in general is believing that all human beings, gender, race, ethnicity, all of those are equal. So it's very similar to the idea of feminism, but feminism obviously is focusing on gender. So really, why does it have the stigma that it has? And what can we do to work together as women and leaders to make sure that it doesn't continue? Final thought that I have for you is something that I feel very passionate about, and maybe in not the most positive way. And that's that term, who wears the pants? I despise that phrase, who wears the pants? And I will get that phrase, I will get that question from friends, from annoying colleagues or whatever, in relationship with my husband and I. They'll say, well, who wears the pants in our family, because the fact that I am a strong female. And we both wear pants. I like a good pair of jeans. I like a good pair of black pants. He wears pants too. Why does it have to be just because I'm strong, that means that he must be some like little wussy that sits on the sidelines or something like that? As a matter of fact, I think he'd have a major problem with that. And he's big, people who say that. He's like 6'6". So I dare you to say that to my husband. But he's strong. He's a parent. He's independent as well. And just because I'm strong doesn't make my partner weak. It isn't a tug of war. Our relationship isn't a tug of war. Think of it more like a relay race. Think about the Olympics with a relay race. If I'm strong and fast, and my partner is also, we'll be stronger and faster together. And at the end of the day, if you're saying things like that, we're probably going to beat you. So here we go. Wear the pants now. Who wears the pants now? And I think that that's really important. And that particular cliche really unnerves me, as I'm sure you can feel in my passion in talking about it. But that really just isn't fair, because just because I'm strong doesn't make anybody that's around me any less so. As a matter of fact, I hope that we can build and be strong together. So I'd like to switch over and begin our discussion with Sue. And first, let's hear our shout out from Frank.
Hello, I am Frank J. Diekman with SeeYouToday.info, and we are delighted to partner in this Wonder Women initiative. Many women do indeed wonder during their careers what they can do to both contribute to credit unions and develop a career path that allows them to achieve their goals. We are looking forward to this partnership and providing some direction to both of those issues. Thank you.
Thank you to Frank. You may recognize him. He was actually a guest on the podcast, so it's really cool that he's helping us in supporting this initiative in Wonder Women. So now I'd like to formally introduce you to the woman of the episode, and that is Susan Mitchell, CEO of Mitchell Stankovic and Associates, still trying to be my boss after all of these years. 25 years in consulting, also in corporate America as well as in the financial services and credit union industry. You've worked with organizations like Bank of America, Citicorp, Chase, Wells Fargo, FDIC. You're instrumental in a lot of governmental things that have occurred in financial services in that industry. You were also some inaugural Visionary Diversity Award winner. The Beacon Award. You were named Southern Nevada Businesswoman of the Year. And the organization that you were running, Midas, was also named Business of the Year. So, I mean, I feel like you've been around the block. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, a few times.
Welcome. Let's get right in here. So tell us about your journey in leadership.
Well, you know, it's kind of an interesting question, and this whole process caused me to reflect. And so I'll kind of start at the beginning.
Do it.
When I started my career, I was the first female with 19 men working in a computer industry.
Oh, look at your cute little photo there. I love that.
Yeah, I look the same.
Absolutely the same.
And at that time, it was a very autocratic, male-dominated business world. In fact, as I was writing some notes, which I've taken just to make sure I stay on track, it was interesting because I thought about that show, Mad Men.
Uh-huh.
And I thought, you know, it could have been Mad Women, because the reality was we were striving very, very hard to break through and to be equal and to have the rights. And so I was able to work there, and I was never really recognized, but on a national basis started a multiple regression model, which I taught to appraisers nationwide. And then I went on to be a branch manager at an organization where we did work with the Federal Reserve Bank and Bank of America. And we created the branch data exchange, which later was like 8 different states. And from there, we went on to Oregon. And I was VP of sales and marketing and R&D for an in-house data processing firm. And from that journey, it was always entrepreneurial, so I decided, let's start our own company. Mm-hmm. And just like you said, you know, we both wear pants in the family, but
sure.
I had the opportunity to start the company with my husband of 34 years.
Wow.
We came back to Boulder City here in Nevada, and our families were here. And so it was kind of an interesting time. It was a time to work with financial institutions, but I found credit unions happened to steal my heart.
Yes.
Because their passion, their belief in people, changing lives, was so consistent with me.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that started our journey with the credit union movement.
And so right off the bat, you were breaking boundaries with being an entrepreneur, being in working in general, because I mean, you grew up in a Leave It to Beaver kind of generational mold, right?
Yeah, a little later than that. We were more in the Charlie's Angels mold.
I think.
But the reality is, you're absolutely right. It was an interesting time. It was
sure.
a tough time. And it was one that really challenged your whole connotation about feminism. So
right.
I thought that was fascinating.
And so what does feminism then mean to you?
Well, it was interesting because I thought about it and I thought, you know, the word to me is actually what you mentioned as well. It means in some ways more about male bashing.
Uh-huh.
Especially when we were, you know, walking the line and saying, hey, this is what we want. I've always been a feminist.
Uh-huh.
I've walked the line with people and with organizations and being able to care, change lives. I never wanted to cuss with the guys. Uh-huh. You know, I didn't want to do that kind of stuff. But I've lived the life of a feminist.
Yes.
I'm strong.
That's interesting.
I'm a learner. I'm a driver. We broke down some of the gender roles.
Yep.
We shared home and work, and I'm a mom. I'm a daughter. I'm a grandma.
Right.
You know, I mean, so I look at those things and I realize that it's all about that sweet Sue in me, you know, the sweet Sue that they used to call me. And I think about it today, and I was sweet but strong.
Yes.
And so feminism to me represents what we have to do in the future.
And it's almost like a reflection thing, right? So you realize that you led a feminist path only because that's the path that felt right for you in the moment. But yet It wasn't like you set up and woke up every day and like, I'm going to be a feminist.
That's exactly right. I didn't take to the pulpit and say, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I worked hard.
Right.
And I had real challenges through that process, which we'll talk about. But I look at it today and I realize, oh my gosh, you know, I've been a leader in driving some of these initiatives because it's the right thing to do.
Yes.
You know,
I love
it's
that.
It's not about men. It's not about women. It's a human issue.
Right.
And I believe that that's even more important today
yep.
than it was in the past.
Yeah, that's true. So there are some resources that I know that you've been very involved in, something that's also very near and dear to my heart, and that's the Global Women's Leadership Network. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, now get me started on the passion. you know, my first engagement with a women's group was a she group, and that was in the 1990s. And we put together senior holistic executives. And the idea with that was that we would, instead of being on the golf course and the Good Old Boy Network, what we would do instead is come together as women and do adventures. And one of those adventures happened to be in Sedona looking for UFOs, and all of these CEOs are with me and they're willing to challenge and so on. And I've always had that passion, either directly or indirectly. So in 2009, mm-hmm. Dr. Branch, head of World Council, came to me and said he had this vision for an initiative and asked that if I'd be the founding chair. And I am. And I'm excited to share with you a few stats because I think it's
Please
really
do.
Important to, you know, one of the things that somebody said to us when we started this was you have to have results. Women want results.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me tell you, 2016, I'll read you a couple of notes
Please.
Here. We have hundreds of volunteers, but we have about 1,200 members, and
wow.
those members are from 78 countries.
78. Wow. Look at there. There's our smiling faces
there
right
we
there.
Are.
78 countries, amazing.
We have 41 scholarships to women from 21 countries. We have 32, soon to be 39, sister societies, which
wow.
are local chapters around the
yep.
world in 13 mm-hmm. countries. We've raised $450,000 and given it in empowerment grants, but our overall funding is over $1.4 million.
It's incredible. Since
2009, and it's the credit union spirit. It's really about, on a human level, both you know, locally and globally.
Uh-huh.
Locally, domestically, our issue is probably more about moving the needle.
Sure.
And some of the things you mentioned in your opening. But I think on an international level, it's about feeding families.
Right.
Getting water.
Yeah.
Equal opportunities. So one example of that is we give an annual award as part of Global Women. And Lenny received it in 2016. And this is what she accomplished in a year. She formed a multi-purpose cooperative. The empowerment grant was not very much money. She trained 109 women, and their income increased by 23%.
So she was given a small empowerment grant, a tiny amount of money, and with that, impacted 109 women.
And raised their income.
Wow.
But she also went out and taught financial literacy to 8,000
people. Wow.
She's the CEO of the Asian Confederation of Credit Unions, which is a very male-dominated environment.
Sure.
And she was able to go out there and do that. And she started four sister societies, and she's starting her fifth. And those are in countries like Nepal.
Right.
All right. These are very poor areas. And so, you know, women and men that supported it are making such a difference. And
absolutely.
And, you know, I think that we'll share with Brandy. Brandy's the ambassador for the U.S. on this initiative. And we've gotten the award this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's incredible.
So
it, I think, you know, it's really interesting the impact that it has on global. For those that are international listeners of ours, that the women's rights means different things in different cultures, right? And in the United States, sometimes we take for granted what is all happening in different parts of the world. And so for us, the thought of our rights regressing or any human rights regressing in such a forward, you know, supposedly forward country is interesting and is something to take note of for people to recognize this passion.
Yeah, I think it's something that I'll pick up a picket. And I'll go out there and be part of it, a part of a march again, because I believe so strongly that we can't regress. And,
right.
you know, things as simple as birth control.
Right.
I mean, the ability to be out and to work and have the freedom of choice, choice to work, choice to stay home, choice to, you know, whatever orientation. Right, sure. I'm passionate about that whole movement.
So what are some pressures or challenges, hurdles, things that you've overcome in your journey?
You know, because again, I approach it from a kind of a feminine thing, I want to tell a couple of personal stories.
Please do.
One is, it was early in my career and I...
Wait a minute. Now, because you are my mom, am I going to cringe when I hear these stories?
No, I am going to mention that I was pregnant though.
Oh, well, okay. Well, that one I can do.
So here I am and I'm going in and I'm seeing a senior vice president of a major financial institution. And my colleague and I, he worked for me, had decided upon the pricing and we decided upon our approach. And we go into the meeting and I am pregnant and I'm walking in. I'm feeling a little vulnerable because in those days, what we wore for maternity clothes were like big tents. And so you not only walk in the room, but you're feeling kind of awkward. And I went out to shake the gentleman's hand and he wouldn't shake my hand.
He wouldn't shake your hand.
Would not shake my hand. Huh. He walked right past me and shook the hand of my colleague. And in the course of that discussion about, and it happened to be Senate Bill 7, which was redlining, and we were writing the software for it. And I looked at him, and I doubled the price.
Good.
Right then. And I walked away, and I remember my male colleague were at the table, and he looked at me like, what are you doing? And I walked out, and I said, this is going to be difficult. And
right.
So it's just not right. And so we should do that. And so that's just one example. There's so many times. There's also walking the line. And mm-hmm. there are a lot of women that will relate to this, that even in today's culture, it's somewhat of a competition when women are there.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And sometimes with 19 men and me in some of these meetings, it became a competition of, you know, whose room I'm going to go to. Mm. And I had several times where instead of creating a uncomfortable situation, I would just say, hey, give me your key. Give me your key. One particular night, I actually accumulated 13 room keys.
13,
which I took to the front desk and put in an envelope altogether and wrote, sorry, treat me with more respect.
Oh, you didn't.
So
I love that story. Did they have to go get
their... They had to go to the front desk because back
in
those days,
and get it out of the envelope.
They had to go back and actually get their physical key. So everybody had to encounter the front desk. And
I would love to have seen the look on the person's face for the first one to go when there's so many keys in here and be like, dude.
Yeah.
I was like not even that cool and special in that moment.
Well, and you know what's so funny about it is you go back to your room and you're a little scared, you know?
Sure.
Like, oh my gosh, I've just done this. But I also felt so empowered.
Yeah.
You know, the next day it was like,
yeah. Sure.
Yeah. So a couple examples.
So tell us about a takeaway or an action item, something that people can start. Do you have some advice for young women?
Yes. I mean, I think that when I look to the future, one of the things that we had to overcome, there was a time in my career when I was put as an acting manager. I wasn't given the actual title or the compensation or the recognition. And during that particular time, I won the President's Award. So I was recognized nationally.
Wow.
And I decided to get a new job. So I resigned right before it. And in the meeting where I told my boss, he was congratulating me and sending me, he said, you know, I'm looking forward to you going to Hilton Head. And I said, no, I'm going to resign. And he said, what? And he hit the table and he got so emotional. And I looked at him and I said, let's take a moment. I think you're being too emotional. And that's one of those moments. And so what I said to young women today and to young men, all right, we have to work harder than others.
Right.
And it's not, again, the barriers are there.
Sure.
They're there.
Stereotypes
at all levels.
Or whatever.
The stereotypes are there. And so it's really important that you collect yourself, think it through, but always look to the next thing and say to yourself, what are my dreams? And be relentless in pursuing those, but always lift others up with you.
Sure.
Okay. Do it in the right way because today, your network, when you reach this point in my career, my network is 25, 30 years.
Right,
with friends and people.
And impact.
And that's really what it means.
Mm-hmm. That's so good. And I think that sometimes women, because they are so competitive with one another, don't support and build and work together as much as we could.
It's interesting you say that. You mentioned earlier that when we go around the world, people have different initiatives based upon their area. Jamaicans, the women there tell me that they have no problem with gender.
Oh, okay.
What they have a problem with is women supporting each other.
Huh.
And so think about where you are and think about how you can.
Specific to you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Individually, to your area.
Culture.
But empower, change lives, commit to it.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. If viewers wanted to get a hold of you or to become part of Global Women's Leadership Network, how would they do that?
Well, Susan at MitchellStankovic.com. They could talk to me directly. If you want to become a part of our movement, then please go to CUWomen.org. Yeah. And learn more about what we're doing.
And I imagine they could probably hit me up on things too. And I'm sure I could find you somewhere along the path.
You know where I live.
Well, thank you very much for being here and sharing all of these stories and some that I haven't even heard before. So that's super cool.
Well,
so I'm glad
that
kept them in your pocket for this very moment. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Let's go out and hear from Shauna.
Hi, this is Shauna Richardson. I'm CEO at Saratech. One of our company's core tenets is to support and empower women through responsible credit services and education. I've worked with organizations all over the world to help create awareness about the importance of having access to fairly priced credit. I want women and their families to be able to fund their dreams, so I'm really, really excited about this Wonder Woman series. And with that, you are listening to the Strategic Hot Box with Brandi Stankovic.
Thank you again to Shauna. She really has made an impact with leaders all over the world and continues to do so. So now it's my favorite time, your favorite time. It's time to kick some ass. Here's your top five kick ass. Number one is to stand up and speak up. There are so many moments when I look back in hindsight obviously being 2020, where there was an opportunity for me to stand up and say that something wasn't right or something should be done differently. And I didn't. And I'd like that. And I wish I'd have that chance to do it again. So I urge everyone out there to do that. But as Sue mentioned, let's also make sure that we're bringing people along with us. So as women leaders or those that work with women leaders, see what you can do to make their like break through the barriers, support one another, mentor, coach, do whatever you can to support that growth in an equal way, both for men and women. Because I think that big of the piece, back to the stigma for a second, part of the stigma has to do with that we'll be neglecting some other gender or some other group or demographic if in fact we support women, when that's not the case. Supporting women is supporting leaders. Number two is listen to understand. I think so often we'll create programs for different demographics, humans, people, women, and not really know why we're doing it. We just have that paternity leave just because we're required to by the state, as opposed to having it based on the people that you're serving and the people that are in your organization. So listen to the challenges that they have. It's really interesting to hear stories and things that are shared from all women. And this is a woman that I'm around all the time, and yet there's stories that I haven't heard. So if there's other stories and things and experiences that are in the women that have lived around you, then pull that information from them. Number three is to share with the next generation. Sue's talked about it pretty tremendously. I shared at the very beginning about the fact that sometimes we get clueless to it. In the previous podcast, I believe I shared with you as well, but in my work at the College of Southern Nevada, a lot of times I'll work with young women that won't even know what the glass ceiling is or won't even know what these barriers are. And in some ways, that's great because that means that we've done well as a gender and we've made some pretty tremendous strides. On the flip side, that's bad. Because if we don't realize there's a problem, we're not working towards solution and we're not working together as men, women, and leaders to make a difference. Number four is to find a network. Get out there and figure out what's happening with Global Women's Leadership Network. I'd be happy to connect you. We'll put it out on the Strategic Hot Box website. So even if you're not from the United States and you're from other parts of the world, cool. We'll connect you with leaders in your area. And there are other networks and support that's there as well. Number five is wear pants and kick ass. I just feel like when it comes to being a woman or a man, and that's one of the things too, by saying that I wear the pants or giving some sort of detriment, it's saying that my husband isn't strong, and that's not cool. So if you're a man out there, wear pants and kick ass too, because that's important, and all of us doing that together will be stronger and have more of a synergistic effect. So that's your top five kick ass. So thank you again to Sue Mitchell and to our sponsors, Frank and Shauna, for being a part of this effort. We'd love to hear from all of you that are listening and watching about topics that you'd like us to tackle here on the Hot Box. Specifically, if you want to tackle a woman's topic, please reach out to us. You can do so at email podcast@strategichotbox.com. You can hit us up on social media, Twitter and Instagram at BrandiLove, BrandiLuv, or at Strategic Hot Box. And then, of course, for ongoing access to workbooks and tools and leadership development, exercises, books, and me, then please go to strategichotbox.com. Until next time, wear pants and kick ass. Woo-hoo.